I was listening to a podcast a couple of weeks ago, and I heard this interview with a cognitive neuroscientist, I think she was. And she was talking about basically COVID brain. She was saying that our brains, you know, they're actually quite adaptable. So in the lockdown and the stress that we're living through this past year, she's seeing our brains actually change, especially our cognitive function. More of our brain power I'm using the scientific term here, by the way, the brain power. And more of our brain power is shifting from, I think, the front of our brains, where the cognitive reasoning happens, to the back. And this is because on top of all the stress that we're living through, we aren't getting very much, you know, variety or new stimulation that we need to process. Every day, you know, it's more or less the same. I think that's why I've been freaking out over Easter, because this Easter is different than the other days, all this Triduum. But you know, it's just, but that's a shock to the system, because normally, you know, I go out for a walk and I go in the same neighborhood, see the same people. You guys at home, you guys here, it's sort of the same thing for all of us. And most of us, our brains are not being stimulated with new information. So we actually don't need the part of the brain that processes new things, and we need more of that brain power. Again, that's the technical term, dealing with the emotional side of all this stress that we're under. And that's why we can't remember if something happened 4 months ago or 4 weeks ago. You know, it's because our brains have been changed over this year. That's why everything seems to be mushing together in our memory. It also means that we're actually not that good anymore at processing and dealing with new information. You know, for example, all the updates and the guidelines, which the government seems to keep changing, all the yo-yoing back and forth on everything that's coming at us, it seems way more chaotic and volatile and uncertain than it used to be. And that's confusing us. And that's leading to even more stress and anxiety. The good news, this woman said, is that once our brains start to get more stimulation and variety, and the emotional stress isn't as high, all that brain power starts to revert back to where it was before. Our brains are pretty resilient that way. So why am I telling you all this? I mean, aside from the fact that I am a wealth of ridiculously disparate and useless information, why am I telling you this is because I see a parallel to what we've been hearing, listening, and living through this past week with Easter. If you've been with us since last week, since Palm Sunday, and all through the Holy Week services, you know just how chaotic it can seem. If you haven't been with us the whole time, I'm going to give you a quick recap. Jesus, just 1 week ago, on Palm Sunday, is hailed as king as he enters Jerusalem. People are waving palms and acclaiming him as king as he enters into the city. And within less than a week, one of his own disciples betrays him to the authorities. The crowd who had hailed him, his coming, now gets all whipped into a frenzy and starts to shout, "Crucify him, crucify him." He gets bounced around from being tried by religious leaders to the Roman governor to the Jewish king, back again to the Romans. His disciples see Jesus get whipped and beaten, mocked and derided. They see him forced to carry his cross out to Golgotha, to the hillside where he is nailed to that very same cross that he had to carry up that hill. And there he is left to die. And now all the disciples are in lockdown in a room because they're afraid. They're afraid of those authorities. They're afraid of what happened to Jesus. They're afraid that their hopes and dreams have been dashed completely with Jesus' death. They are living through an incredibly volatile and chaotic time. Their stress and anxiety levels are probably off the chart, and they are consumed with fear. And in all this, they have to process the new information that we get tonight. The tomb is empty. The tomb where they laid Jesus is now empty. Mary Magdalene, Salome, and the other Mary, they go and see, and they find the rock has been moved away, and the linens and that wrapped the body have been strewn about. What to make of all this? Inside, they meet an angel, I guess, who gives them this all sorts of new information. They hear from him that Jesus is no longer in the tomb, that he is risen. And the gospel says that these women, in their confusion and their fear, they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. The last line of the gospel tonight has them running away. Running away in despair after all they had seen and lived through. And they just had to get out of there. These women, the two Marys and Salome, these were the women who stood by Jesus to the very end. They were at the foot of the cross when he breathed his last. They did that while almost everyone else had already fled into a locked room. These women knew what loss was. They knew despair. And it's right into this despair that Jesus first appears. The next line of the gospel after it ends tonight, the very next line is about Jesus appearing to Mary Magdalene. In her fear and confusion and this profound sense of loss, it is into that very chaos and confusion that Jesus comes. He comes to transform her tears into joy, her chaos and confusion into peace, to transform her loss, her defeat into victory. Soon, we hear about Jesus is going to appear in the locked room amidst all the fear and the confusion and the loss of the other disciples. And the first thing he will say to them is, "Peace be with you." Because that's what Jesus does. He comes right down into all of our mess, all of our fears, all of our suffering. He comes right into our loss. And by his love and his sacrifice, he turns all of it into the most incredible victory. He turns it into peace. Each and every one of us has felt a profound loss this past year. In some way, shape, or form, you have felt and tasted defeat. You've lost a loved one. Maybe you've lost a loved one, and maybe that is the most acute loss we can feel. But maybe you've lost a job, lost the emotional support and the coping mechanisms you usually rely on. Maybe you've lost all the parenting help that you used to have. Maybe you've lost the sports you played, the concerts you went to that meant so much and were so fulfilling. Maybe you have lost hope. In some way, shape, or form, we have all lost something this past year. In some way, shape, or form, we are dealing with confusion and stress and chaos, and our brains are even changing as a result of it. And yet, in some way, shape, or form, at Easter, we realize that Jesus has conquered all of it. In Easter, we realize that Jesus transforms loss into victory and brings peace in the midst of chaos. And oh my goodness, do we need peace and transformation right now? Over this past year, I have prayed for parishioners who've been dealing with cancer diagnosis in the midst of the isolation. I've spent time on the phone mourning with other parishioners. I've spent time talking to those who are really in despair. I have personally experienced loss and confusion and fear. I need Easter. You need Easter. I need Jesus to tell me, do not be afraid. I need him to tell me, peace be with you. My peace I give you. Easter, the empty tomb, means that Jesus has conquered death. He has transformed the great defeat into an incredible victory. This past year has, in so many ways, seemed to be a defeat. And you could have just run away and fled from all the craziness and the confusion, but you didn't. You may have wanted to, I know I did. But the fact that you are here tonight, whether in person or online, means that you haven't fled. Means that you haven't given in to complete despair. It means that you haven't lost hope. In a few moments, we're going to bless the water. This is the water that we will use for our baptisms tomorrow. And I will invite you at that moment when we're blessing, when we've blessed it, to renew your own baptism. And then I'm going to come through and sprinkle everyone with water in order to make that baptism new again for all of us. St. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, which we heard tonight, says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Yeah, we are first of all baptized into his death. In fact, the word baptism means to be immersed, plunged into. So we are immersed into Jesus' death. And then this year of sacrifice when we are all living, that makes that fact so much more real to me, I think. That I've been baptized into Jesus' death. Paul goes on to say that while we are baptized into his death, it is so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his, Paul says. His resurrection makes all things new. It brings victory from defeat. It brings healing and hope from despair. It brings peace from confusion and fear. He brought it to Mary and to Salome and to the other Mary. He brought it to Peter and the other apostles hiding in the locked room. He brought it to over 500 disciples in Galilee. And he wants to bring it to you tonight. He can bring it to you. He can bring it to me. So tonight, as I go through that crowd and I sprinkle water over you in person or virtually at home, let it be a shock. Let it be a shock to the system. As much of a shock as that empty tomb was. Don't worry, I'm going to douse you. Marco, you agree you're going to help me out and douse everybody? Okay, good. It's going to be a shock. Let it be a shock. We need to have our system shocked back into new life, the new life of the resurrection. Let it renew your share in Jesus' resurrection because you've already experienced the share in his death. Let it be the moment when Jesus tells you, do not be afraid. Peace be with you.